You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in on a Monday. Jim and Trent on the Big Talker 1700. We say hello to you as we get you ready for March Madness and also talk a little bit about what Drake just accomplished. We've got a great show lined up. We'll do some bracket conversation at 4:20. Chris Dobertine will be our guest. John Bonenkamp on the Hawks, and he is a top 25 Associated Press voter. He'll be our guest at 4:40. UNI basketball coach Ben Jacobson coming up at 5:15, and then Wolfgang joins the show at 5:30. Trent, how are you, pal? And did you enjoy the weekend?
Yeah, it was a great one, Jimmy B. I had a little time alone. I wasn't so busy, so... Got past wrestling and girls' state and boys' state basketball. Enjoyed a lot of basketball on the television, a lot of couch time. And ready to roll here this week as we'll be off Thursday and Friday, obviously. NCAA tournament coverage here, wall to wall. Don't have to miss a thing. We have you covered on 1700. Starting bright and early with the tip-off on Thursday and going all the way through all the games throughout the weekend. We'll have the first four games starting up tomorrow and on Wednesday. So certainly a busy time as we get ready for the tournament.
Absolutely. Can't wait. It's our favorite time of year. We love this. And I've got some bracket ideas. I'm sure you do too. Now, I know that you have probably already filled out your bracket, where me, on the other hand, I am still kind of debating about which teams. Am I correct in that, or have you taken a more relaxed approach this year?
No, you're dead wrong as always, Jimmy B. I haven't filled out a bracket yet. Haven't got to that point. Though I have thoughts. I have plenty of thoughts.
Okay.
I officially put pen to paper. And you know what? I'll fill out a couple. I'll do a couple different ones.
I will too.
Getting different pools and different things. But Jimmy B., that doesn't mean... You can't come in here next week and all of a sudden on Monday say, you know what, in one of my pools I had Marshall beating Wichita. Look at me. Now, you're not allowed to do that. You can only have one pick as it pertains to that, what we're doing here. So you can't have 15 different brackets and have 15 different upsets, and then when one of them hits, talk about how well you did. I'm not allowing that, all right, Brinson?
So if I have Lipscomb beating North Carolina, you won't let me brag about it? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, if you do it in every bracket, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Not 10 that I'm filling out.
Right,
is that what you're saying?
Right.
I got it. Okay, fair enough. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. Look, there's only one college team playing right now in the state of Iowa, and it's Drake. Look, it's not a big deal. It's the CIT tournament. But you know what, Trent? For Drake, who has been down forever, it seems, this is a big deal. And they got a overtime victory of 80-73 over Abilene Christian at home. And look, you got to at least tip your cap to Nico Medved and the job he's done this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming into a situation... That is difficult. Drake is a very difficult job, and we've seen certainly the ramifications of that throughout the years and the number of coaches that have seen go by the wayside. It's a tough job to jump into, but Jimmy B, they about blew this thing. They just about blew this. And every time I was looking up and I had it in here in the studio throughout the afternoon, Reed Timmer was missing jumpers. And then look at the final numbers. He was 1 of 13 from the floor.
Just a terrible day for him.
It was rough, yet they controlled things. They were looking good. In fact, with, 2 minutes 50 seconds left after Deontay McMurray hit a free throw to give him an 11-point lead, they were a 99% win probability. Then it started to happen, and it looked for a while like they were going to lose this thing. They gave up a jumper right at the end of regulation, about 10 seconds left, go to overtime, get down right away, but then bounce back and get the victory, and good for them. You know, a group of seniors that have been through a lot of coaching changes, a lot has happened to that program, but for Timmer and McMurray and Rivers and Urigande and on and on and on, this group stuck together, stuck it out today, and at one that looked like very easily could slip away, and they'll be moving on, and maybe, just maybe, Jimmy B, before that game, Drake and Abilene Christian Central Michigan got a win. Coached by?
Yes.
Keno Davis.
Keno Davis. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
you think we could have that? You think we could have that?
Well, if I'm the organizers of the CIT, because this isn't a true bracket, they reassign teams after the opening round finishes up. I think it's a no-doubter, right? I mean, you have Central Michigan come in, you have Keno get in, you get a little bit of certainly local buzz that'll be generated. I think there's no doubt we're going to see the Chippewas in Des Moines next week.
That would be fun. I mean, look, we're scraping for any local angle on college basketball. UNI, Iowa State, Iowa, they all stunk up the joint this year. We all know it. They're not going anywhere. They're done. So any little local nugget that we can generate is good for us. You mentioned Oregonde. You know that he was 8 of 10 from the floor? And 5 of 5 at the free throw line. He did not miss a shot in 4 tries for 3 from 3-point land, and he scored 25 while Reed Timmer was 1 of 13, and their leading scorer scored only 6 points, and yet they still found a way to win, Trent.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. McGlynn was really good. He was battling inside, and Abilene Christian was, they were okay at times. They're just okay, but they had their own opportunities. Drake gets the victory. Now, guess when they will play next. Just take a wild guess.
Okay, so they played today, which is Monday.
Yep.
I'm going to guess, let's see, that it would probably be another Monday or Tuesday because they don't want to schedule when the NCAA tournament is in, and they'd probably like to avoid the NIT if they can get a TV game out of it. So next Monday? Would it be next Monday?
You'd be wrong. The quarterfinal is 0 for 2 today, Jimmy B. They go March 22nd through the 25th. I would have got that wrong as well. A week from Thursday through next Sunday, they'll play the quarterfinals, and the semifinals are on March 28th, which is a Wednesday, and the championship is on the 30th, a Friday night. So got a little ways till we see the Doggies again in action, a week and a half before they'll be back on the floor at some point. Hopefully at home. Maybe away, but regardless, we will see on that one. Got a little while to put the Bulldogs to bed, but hey, maybe we could talk a little. Not a ton of Drake, a little bit of Drake.
But a little bit of Drake, yeah. I mean, like I said, that's all we got. Okay, speaking of that's all we got, since there isn't an Iowa school, and this is like a real shock to the nervous system, Trent, for the past what? 6-7 years, there's been somebody from Iowa in the dance?
No, you have to go back a lot longer than that, Jimmy B. I think since the last time there wasn't a team from the state in. 6-7 years? Oh, more than that? I don't know when the last time is now that you say it. It's been a long time. A very long time.
Okay. So we're empty-handed. Empty-handed. Are you still staying with your adopted team, Rhode Island, in the dance?
No, I'm out on them. They play.
You're done with that.
No, they play like garbage down the stretch. No, I'm out on them. I'll still be rooting for them. But no, that's not my pick now. Now that we have the brackets in front of us, the team that I like more than others. Now, I told you one team that I've been keeping my eye on. They have a couple nice wins this season. Virginia Tech. They go up against Colin Sexton in Alabama in the opening round and then get Nova in the round of 32. Jim, do you realize now, I think it's 7 of the last 9 years we've seen a number 1 seed get knocked off or a number 2 in the round of 32. This is almost turning into a yearly occurrence where we see one of the top 2 seeds get knocked off. And you and I, they were a big part of it back in 2010 beating Kansas, but we've seen that happen, Jim. If there is a team that I'd like to knock off a number 1 in the round of 32, might just be Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, that surprise team to the Sweet 16. Now, the problem, and this is the problem all the time, be it picking who's going to beat a number 1 or a number 2 in the next round, those teams have to get there, and they're playing teams very similar to them in the opening round, and that's what makes it difficult. If you want to kind of put your neck out there on that one, Providence, can they beat North Carolina? I don't know. Texas A&M is very talented, but they haven't been able to put it together all season long. Mentioned that Rhode Island-Oklahoma game. Either those teams beat Duke, you wouldn't think so, right? But it's fun. It's fun to try to, for me, everybody likes to talk about who's the 12 that's going to beat the 5. What 11 seed's going to make a run to the Sweet 16? I like to look there in that middle portion of the bracket, the 7-2 seed, who's going to pull a second round upset. That's one of the first things I like to look for.
Okay, fair enough. Do you like Wichita State as a 4 moving out a ways?
No, not really. No.
Okay. Okay. All right, because I like them a little bit. I think that they have an opportunity to do some damage. In the second round, they would match up against West Virginia, but I think for them, that's a good matchup. So, and I'll tell you, look, I know they're a number 2 seed, but it seems like they gag every year. I think Purdue's dangerous. I really do.
Well, I think the bracket is set up for them. I mean, there's nobody in that bracket. Maybe outside of Butler that I'd be concerned about. Texas Tech, we've seen what happened to them with the injuries.
Florida,
they can shoot it, but are they going to shoot it consistently enough to even get to the Sweet 16 to play Purdue? I don't see that happening there. No, I think that at least when you look at the full side of a bracket, they're in the East. I like Purdue to be an Elite Eight team. I agree with you there. I still think they'll see Villanova, and I don't see them beating Villanova. But if there is something like that, and again, a bracket could open up and say the upset that I mentioned, Virginia Tech beats Villanova, that's open.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that one, that Purdue. Now, that's a 2 seed. We're not digging real deep into it.
No.
And how about the overall number 1 seed, Virginia? So they'll take on Maryland, Baltimore County to begin things. But then either Creighton or Kansas State, 2 teams that certainly can get hot. Mm-hmm. Then you get more than likely either Kentucky or Arizona.
Arizona
may be one of the most talented teams, and Kentucky has started to put it together at the end of the season. On the bottom half of that bracket, it's a little bit better. But Virginia, the path that they have to take, certainly, at least in my mind, very difficult.
It is. They did not do any favors to the overall number 1 seed. You're right about that. And you're also right about Purdue. It seems that they kind of caught a break as a number 2 in the East. But the South is absolutely loaded, and there are some really strong teams there. Look, I like Cincinnati. They're scary. And I just think that they could do some damage here. And if they get matched up against, let's see, Tennessee, they could move out. I think Cincy's good enough to beat Tennessee. And I think Cincinnati, because of the way they play defense as well, Trent, if they met West Virginia, I think that would really be a dogfight. Maybe the first 1-50 wins.
Well, speaking of one of those matchups, Virginia-Cincinnati, can you imagine what the total would be if that's an Elite Eight matchup coming out of the South? I mean, the total's going to be 103.5 points.
And I
might still take the under.
I'm with you. Both those teams really D you up. There's no question about that. Do you like, I'm just kind of snooping around here a little bit. Kansas has not done anything, and they've been bounced early. When I say early, in the round of 32 or in the Sweet 16, do you like Kansas' chances to at least move to the Elite Eight?
Well, just a year ago, weren't they in the Elite Eight?
I thought they only made it to the Sweet 16.
No, they lost to Oregon in the Elite Eight.
Oh, okay.
Year before that, guess where they lost?
Where?
In the Elite Eight. Isn't it funny how our perceptions can just kind of cloud things? And
yes.
I remember last year's Oregon game, but I would have thought kind of the same thing that you did, and you have to go all the way back to 2012 when they lost to Kentucky since they punched their ticket to the Final Four. But I had the same kind of thoughts, Jimmy B. Oh, the perennial disappointment. Well, back-to-back years, lost in the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight.
Yeah, lost the coin flip game that could have gone either way. Oregon, Villanova, and both of them. Oregon ran away from them in the second half of that game, but still.
Right.
No, I with Kansas, look, they got 4 and 5 seeds that, frankly, are not very good teams right now. And injuries are a part of that. But both Auburn and Clemson lost starters. And that kind of goes to what I was saying with Virginia. That just left me kind of scratching my head. You have 2 teams that on the number 4 and number 5 seed lines that aren't the same teams that they were. And yet Kansas gets them. Kansas, for all intents and purposes, was the number 3 or number 4 number 1 seed. Yet they get an easier path, it seems, to get to the Elite Eight than the overall number 1 seed. And those are some of the bracketing issues that come up. And I know it's difficult because you have conferences, you have teams that you saw in the regular season. You know, it can throw brackets into a mix. Overall, I know a lot of people, Syracuse, I'm certainly down on them. Who do you want to put in over them? You can argue USC. You can argue Middle Tennessee. You can go down a myriad of different rounds, St. Mary's, whatever you do. But overall, there's a lot of Mondays I'll come in here fired up about how badly the committee did. I thought Bruce Rasmussen and company did a pretty good job, all things considered.
All right. How did you like, because you said you were going to, I already railed on the selection show even before it aired. You said you were going to hold judgment until you watched. Where were you on the selection show? Was I correct in my railing, or did you find it acceptable?
No, it was even worse than I could have imagined, Jimmy B. It was so bad.
It was terrible. Terrible. It was awful. I went off on that tangent about how you get some goofy producer who thinks that he's supposed to be the basketball god, knowing everything on how to do. No, just do the damn show the way it's supposed to be done. It was awful, Trent. You couldn't have stated it. That is the perfect term. Awful.
Awful. Well, our next guest is not awful. He's going to help us
out
a deeper dive into the brackets. Chris Dobertin, bloggingthebracket.com, part of SB Nation. He's our guest on the other side. What'd they get right? What'd they get wrong? And how did Chris do? We'll take a look at that coming up on the other side. Also, John Bonacamp. We'll talk with him a little bit this hour about his final AP Top 25 of the regular season and his thoughts. A lot of college basketball talk. Ben Jacobson will be by in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Wolfgang. It's a busy. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock here on a Monday. I'm Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Well, it's that time of year again. Tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
The day for everyone to be Irish, St. Patrick's Day, falls on a Saturday this year. Party right with Bennigan's and the St. Patrick's Day Party on Saturday, March 17th, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Live music starts at 7 with Moe's Garage, followed by Burning Sensation until 1 a.m. And room packages are available to stay the night at the Holiday Inn if you have a little too much Irish spirit. Your St. Patrick's Day Party headquarters, Bennigan's on Merle Hay Road.
Sponsored by Cece's. Now at Cece's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just $5 and change for a limited time. Only at Cece's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
I'm Jason Horowitz with an NCAA March Madness countdown as the 2018 men's tournament field is set. Game action gets underway tomorrow and Wednesday with the first four doubleheaders from Dayton. Then it's wall-to-wall action Thursday and Friday from eight sites all over the country. To follow all of the games and the scores, and to make sure you don't miss any of the excitement, tune into Western One's exclusive coverage of the entire NCAA tournament right here.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs, like the free Fix Finder tool. When your check engine light comes on, get it checked out at AutoZone. Whether it's small or serious, you can troubleshoot the real problem free of charge, so you can get it fixed right the first time. And power through the dark this winter by upgrading to brighter headlights. You can boost your visibility and your safety. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I love to play it safe. Especially when it comes to my facility and my guys. Everyone's got their PPE. Safe boots, safe goggles, safe gloves, safe everything. If I could make the vending machine safer around here, I would. Believe me, I've tried. That's why I love Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They help keep my facility safe and my people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Guys, Trent Condon here again for New Leaf Wellness. Warm weather is going to be here before you know it, and if you added some pounds during the winter, New Leaf Wellness can help you. Great treatment programs designed specifically for you. I'm on the GAC and MIC. It has helped me not just lose weight with my energy level, no more lulls in the afternoon. Give them a call today. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation. 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358. Let's feel better together with New Leaf Wellness Centers.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We go all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. The brackets are out, and we are excited as we start to get ready for one of the best times in the entire year. It is, of course, March Madness. To help us all out, and you've heard him on this show many times, and he's a busy boy right now, Chris Dobertine with the brackets. He's our guest right here on the Big Talker 1700. Hi, Chris, and I guess Trent and I have not filled our brackets out yet. We are still debating over a couple of teams. I know in the business that you're in, you have to do it immediately. So how did you come about, and how does your bracket look right now?
My bracket is a lot more chalk than I thought it was going to be going into yesterday. Cause I figured, you know, looking at the matchups, I didn't really see as many favorable ones for upsets as I thought we'd get. So thinking of the 32 first-round games we have, I only picked 6 upsets, and 3 of those are 9s over 8s, which to me really don't count.
That's incredible. Okay, if that doesn't really count then to you, fair enough. I got you on that. Then, since you said you went mostly chalk, so you mm-hmm. don't have like a team like is a 6 or 7 or 8 or a 10 making a run to upset the apple cart. Is that right?
I wouldn't say that. I have 2 double-digit seeds making the Sweet 16. I think that Loyola definitely has the capability to get through that pod with Miami and Tennessee. And really more intriguingly for me, I think New Mexico State got a really good draw with Clemson mm-hmm. and Auburn both, you know, missing key players due to injury. I think they could potentially make a run through that pod as well.
Chris, you always do such a great job of putting your bracket, your projection out there. Bloggingthebracket.com is where you can find Chris' work all throughout the season. So you go 67 of 68 this year. You were mm-hmm. One of a handful that did have Syracuse in. Let's talk with the team that's been talked about the most probably here over the last day, and that is the Orange getting in. What led you to put them in the bracket in your final one in your prediction?
Well, on Friday I was thinking, you know, after both Middle Tennessee had been knocked out in the Conference USA quarterfinals and St. Mary's had been knocked out in the semifinals of WCC, I thought that they were probably going to get in based on their records. But kind of thinking about it and doing a little more research, I just noticed that the number of major teams that have been getting at-large bids has cratered. I mean, you look back to 2012, 2013, and we were getting 10 or 11 mid-major teams getting at-large bids. We had six in 2015. 2016 and 2017 combined, we had six. And I'm like thinking, well, I'm not really sure that this is, you know, going to work out there. And I was thinking a little bit more in terms of, you know, what the committee values and quality wins. And this actually turned out to be accurate, especially in regards to Middle Tennessee. We say quality wins, and what we really mean is brand name wins. And I think this is a big reason why Arizona State got in as well. Syracuse beat Clemson and Miami, you know, top 25 RPI type teams late in the season. Louisville didn't do that at all in the year, so that's one reason they got locked out. And then Arizona State had those early season wins over Xavier and Kansas, and it really seems like over the past 2 years, who you beat is so much more important than any potential losses you have. The committee will punish you with losses in terms of your seeding. Like if Syracuse hadn't lost to, you know, Georgia Tech and Wake Forest on the road, they probably aren't playing in Dayton on Wednesday. They're probably in the main draw. And if Arizona State didn't collapse down the stretch, they're probably in the main draw as well. So quality wins really are everything, and that's a big reason why I ended up sticking with Syracuse and probably should have stuck with Arizona State.
All right, then. So what does that tell the mid-majors? That they have to go schedule five or six non-conference games against big-name schools in order to have a shot? Does it have to be that difficult now for them?
I think that's what it's going to have to be, because you look at Middle Tennessee, I've been thinking lately that I honestly think that if Loyola had not won Arch Madness and if New Mexico State had not won the WAC, because they picked up name brand wins at some point with Loyola winning at Florida and New Mexico State beating Miami and Hawaii, they probably would have gotten in because they had that win. Middle Tennessee, you know, couldn't beat Miami, couldn't beat Auburn, you know, couldn't beat USC. They had opportunities to get that kind of win and couldn't do it, and they got left out as a result.
You know, you look at that, and you look at Middle Tennessee, and they made their own bed. They lost in the quarterfinals to a bad Southern Miss team, but it's so difficult. And they did many of the things that mid-majors have to do. They played a home-and-home this year, both games, home and away, against Florida Gulf Coast. They went on the road to play Murray State, an excellent mid-major year after year. They had Belmont in there. They played three SEC schools in Vandy, Ole Miss, Auburn. They played in Honolulu at that aforementioned Diamond Head Classic. They did basically everything that you're supposed to do as a mid-major, yet you're still left out. It just it leads me to believe that unless you have a marquee victory, you get a little bit lucky. I mean, is it their fault that Ole Miss and Vandy both were terrible this year? I mean, they didn't think Auburn was going to be very good, and that turned out to be a pretty good team, as we found out as the season went along. But you also have to have a little bit of luck in here as well, I guess, when you're scheduling.
Exactly. Their non-conference schedule is still 10th. And really, you know, even though they didn't win any of those brand-name games, they still went out and scheduled them. They had that statistic there, which is supposed to be so valuable to the committee, and it was, you know, absolutely nothing for them.
Wow. Tough spot for the mid-majors going forward, and disappointing, certainly, I'm sure, from our outpost here with the MVC and its importance. Disappointing to see. All right, Chris, let's get into some seating issues. Is there anywhere where you thought that the Rasmussen and the committee struggled a little bit, seed lines a couple spots high or low, at least compared to where you had teams?
Yeah, there are a couple that really kind of jump out at me. Arizona, I had as the second three seed, and they end up being the last four seed. And, you know, usually you get a little bit of seeding bonus if you win the conference regular season and tournament titles. So that had me kind of wondering if they didn't win that game in Vegas on Saturday night, or they ended up, you know, as a five seed. By and large, things were kind of, you know, pretty close. I only had a couple teams. Let me look at my statistics here. I did even a little bit better than I did last year in terms of getting teams close to their seeding. I got, you know, 38 dead on for the second year in a row, 25 within one line, which was an improvement over last year. The one I missed on the most was Providence, who was off by three seed lines in the wrong direction. They were a 10. I had them as a 7 after, you know, they got to the Big East final, which, again, had me thinking if they didn't make that run, in New York, do they end up getting left out? Just a couple kind of mid-major ones. I kind of feel like that Penn as a 16 was a little bit low, almost like they, you know, saw the Penn-Harvard game. It was so late on Sunday. They just, you know, Harvard was a 16. Penn was probably a 15. They just decided to put Penn in there after Harvard lost and not really, you know, made any changes there. But for the most part, the seeding was kind of what I expected.
I'm real curious on your thoughts on this. Conferences that didn't have good years. The Big Ten, mediocre at best, with the exception of a couple of teams. The Pac-12, awful at best. And they kind of snuck two teams in as well.
Yeah.
Why is it when you have a history of those conferences being power-type conferences in college basketball in March Madness, how can they just all of a sudden just like the rest of the conference stinks and they only get so few teams in?
It's pretty cyclical. I think with the Pac-12, it's kind of a bigger issue because they seem to have this problem more often than not lately, you know, where they, you know, are sneaking in a couple teams. They're sneaking in a couple of teams with double-digit seeds, and that's it. Because remember, a couple of years ago, they had Washington win the regular season and not make the tournament because their non-conference performance was so bad. And with the with the Big Ten, it was just a really bad just confluence of events between cramming the league schedule together into a short period of time to get the early conference tournament. A lot of bad non-conference scheduling, especially by teams like Nebraska and Penn State, who had legitimate NCAA tournament hopes but needed to get some November and December wins. And really, you know, that to me is kind of what it is. It really kind of feels more cyclical, but it's two conferences that have had issues with this, and the Pac-12 just being down in general from year in and year out, with a couple exceptions. And the Big Ten constantly struggling with non-conference scheduling, that they really just need to start working on that from the commissioner's office on down, kind of like the SEC has.
Speaking of the Big Ten, the two teams that were, in some people's minds, bubble teams, Chris, we tried to explain to people that wasn't the case. Penn State and Nebraska, not only were they not even close to being on the bubble or on the fence, Penn State's a 4 seed in the NIT. Nebraska is a 5 seed. I know you don't get into a whole lot of NIT bracketology. I get that, Chris. But what does that say to the Cornhuskers and the fans over on our western half that are Cornhusker fans about just how far away and what needs to be done next season as it pertains to scheduling?
Well, we were saying that 13-5 in the Big Ten doesn't really matter if you're, you know, scheduled a whole bunch of teams that aren't going to make the tournament and are in the bottom or outside of the top 100 in the RPI. And that was a consistent issue with the Big Ten this year, that you had this issue where Nebraska only got the 4 NCAA tournament teams 4 times and 3 of those games were on the road. So that right there, they were behind the 8 ball. And as I've said repeatedly, the Big Ten does not do a very good job of scheduling outside of the conference in November and December. Granted, they're going to lose a couple opportunities when they go to 20 conference games, you know, coming here down the pike in a couple of years. But still, you need those good non-conference games to get your RPI in good position so that if you do struggle a little bit during league play, it doesn't kill you as much as it did this year.
Having a great conversation on bracketology right now as we continue with Chris Dobertine. Chris, when you look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you say at the very beginning that you thought the committee did a good job, or did you say that at all?
A good job given the rules that they work with.
Okay.
Not a good job in terms of the way things really should be, because there are a lot of things with the process, especially the over-reliance of on RPI and RPI-derived stats like strength of schedule. You know, we talked about, you know, having all these new metrics in there this year, and it doesn't seem like they were really used all that much. So really, they're kind of still, to me, stuck in the past and really kind of need to find some better ways to evaluate these teams that don't rely so much on scheduling, which is becoming a major problem for, you know, 80%, the 80% of Division I that is not in a power conference anymore.
It's this year was the first year of the quadrant system. There were some maybe pluses and minuses to that, but again, it all relies on the RPI, and I think that's a negative to using that kind of system. Chris, we've heard that they're going to use more and more advanced analytics, Ken Pom and Sagarin, and different things. It sounds like they are continuing down that path. How soon is it going to be something that they use more? I thought I heard something maybe next year. I'm not sure. Help us out on that.
I think that, yeah, that's probably a good guess, because it seems like a lot of this was kind of done during the off season, where teams had really kind of set their schedules and really weren't able to kind of make adjustments to the new things that were coming down the pike. I think this year we might see some more, I hope we'll see better non-conference scheduling as a result of getting more credit for road games. I think that hopefully you will see teams actually try to go out and play games on the road, you know, just because you are getting a bump for sure, especially if you win those games in your RPI and you know, on your selection sheet. But we'll really have to see what happens over the next couple of months as the first schedules start to trickle out, as to whether that's actually going to be the case.
It's always good, pal, when we catch up with you. This is going to be fun, Chris. We're going to have to ring your bell again. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Trent.
Chris, that's Chris Dobertine, everybody. Yeah, yeah. He does such a great job, Trent. I mean, his bracket page is unbelievable, and I couldn't believe how spot on he was.
67 out of 68. The only one that he didn't have in was Arizona State. He had them out in USC, and that was the only miss. One of the few that actually had the Cuse in the big dance. He had it right there. We'll take a break. Coming back on the other side, a little local flavor in John Bonacamp, who is a voter in the AP Top 25. He submitted his final ballot of the regular season. We'll get his thoughts on that. Bracket talk and a whole lot more. The Burlington Hawkeyes, John Bonacamp, he joins us next on Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, I'm going to the chicken coop to watch the tournament.
Whoa, wait a minute. Our team didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, my second favorite team did.
Oh, really? And who's that? Let me guess. You're in a pool again, aren't you?
A couple of them. Yeah. Gotta go. Bye.
It's tournament time, baby. No need to flip channels to watch the game. The Chicken Coop has all the games from every network on every TV. The Chicken Coop. Serious about food. Serious about the tournament.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
On March 31st, more than 300 riders on horseback from across the state of Iowa will deliver donations to Easter Seals Camp Sunnyside in Des Moines. In the 50-year history, the group has donated more than $10 million to support Easter Seals Iowa and Camp Sunnyside. The community is invited to welcome the riders into Camp Sunnyside at 3 p.m. on the 31st of March. Easter Seals Iowa provides exceptional service to ensure all people with disabilities or special needs and their families have equal opportunity to live, learn, work, and play in their communities. For more information on Easter Seals Iowa or on the Pony Express ride, visit www.easterseals.ia.org.
Sponsored by CeCe's. Now at CeCe's, New York style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies on the buffet for just $5 and change for a limited time. Only at CeCe's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
Tonight's forecast, partly cloudy, cool and quiet, a low of 23. Mostly sunny, cool, but not too bad, a high of 43 on Tuesday. Get We Are Iowa's most accurate forecast anytime at weareiowa.com.
Save big during the Menard Day Sale. Dakota makes it easy to create your own custom storage space. From modular systems to pre-finished shelving and even closet kits, there's a Dakota product for every room of your home. 7 3/4 inch deep, 4 foot pre-finished shelves in 5 finishes are $4.99 each after rebate during the Menard Day Sale. Get great deals now through March 17th.
Save big money at Menards.
When you're on the water, you want a boat that offers stability, handling, and performance. And that's just what you'll get in a Manitou pontoon boat from Malone Motorsports in Monroe. Manitou's patented V-Tune technology will have you carving the water, giving thrill rides to the skiers and tubers in your crew. It's this type of performance that has helped Manitou pontoon boats dominate the competition at the McCainer Barrel Races 4 straight years. If a Manitou pontoon boat can do that in competition, just think of all the fun you can have on the water with your family and friends. Be ready when that first nice weekend hits. Head to Malone Motorsports now and let their pros help find the perfect Manitou pontoon boat for you. They can explain all about Manitou's V-Tune technology, their quality guarantee, and why they're the only pontoon manufacturer to earn the honor of being a USA Water Ski endorsed water sports boat. Malone Motorsports in Monroe at the junction of Highways 14 and 163. They're worth the drive and open 7 days a week to keep you on the water. Online, MaloneMotorsports.net.
Join the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb in downtown Des Moines on April 8th to help fight lung disease. Register today at fightforiowaclimb.org or call 515-309-9507.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Well, we are going to continue our basketball conversation today. We're probably not going to do with John Bonenkamp any conversation about Drake winning their CIT game. But they did in overtime over Abilene Christian, and they will get a chance to play again. With that, he is a AP voter, Burlington Hawkeye. He's been on the show lots of times. We like having him on. John Bonenkamp is our guest. John, how did you finish up with your top 25?
Oh, I didn't. There wasn't really much change from last week. Just, I mean, you knew it was going to happen with conference tournament week because everybody was going to lose pretty much. But, you know, Kansas made a big jump after what they did in the Big 12, and you know, it was pretty much, I went and looked, my ballot was one of the least extreme of all of them. So it was a pretty normal week all the way around. So.
John, this is one of the things when you have an opportunity to kind of watch all of the games all in a condensed time. Do you find yourself as a voter looking for certain things from teams, or are you just paying attention to who wins and who loses?
You get to a point, when you get to this point in the season, I kind of treat it the way the NCAA tournament committee treats it. You know, you kind of look at the entire resume. You look at, you know, you start looking at trends. You start looking at, you know, who's hot, who's not playing well. You know, really by this point in the year, there really isn't a whole lot of movement in and out of the poll. It's just teams moving up and down. Now, you may get some teams that kind of get in late, but, you know, really those top 15, 16 teams, they stay in there by the time February rolls around, that's pretty well cut and dried. Very rarely do you see somebody fall out. Now, some of the bottom teams, like Kentucky did that. I mean, now they got back in after the way they played in the SEC tournament. But, you know, they were kind of in and out late in the year, but they were kind of in that bottom five or six teams. You know, but by this time of the year, you really look at the entire resume. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I always like, you know, when you start looking at teams, by this point, you know, everybody's got some warts. And so I kind of look at, you know, some of the conference teams in the smaller leagues, you know, the teams that haven't lost a game in conference play or one game, because I really kind of value what you do in league play, you know, really more than the NCAA committee does. So, you know, that's another thing I kind of look at too.
John, when you make your selection on your bracket and you're putting teams forward, how beholden are you to what you vote on in the AP Top 25, or is that not even a thought because of the way brackets go and the way the matchups might come? Do you stay away from your Top 25 as opposed to how you fill out your bracket?
Yeah, I kind of stay away from it, but at the same time, you kind of get an idea on who's hot and who isn't, you know, from doing the poll. And that's, you know, one of the things I said today in my blog about Michigan. You know, and I've got Michigan in my top 10, and they were in the top 10 nationally. But I like the way they played down the stretch. I like the way they played in Madison Square Garden. You know, and I like them in my bracket. I like them getting to the Final Four, which means they're probably going to lose in the first weekend. So, you know, I mean, you kind of get, you know, by doing the poll, you kind of get an idea on who's playing well. And, you know, and you kind of get an idea on some of maybe some surprise teams just because you kept an eye on them here in the last few weeks on how they play.
Mm-hmm. John, it was, I guess, disconcerting, at least to me, that watching all of the tournament games and there was no Big Ten tournament. You know, it just bugged the hell out of me that I wasn't watching Big Ten basketball with the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big East. It was like out of sight, out of mind. Did you feel like that or not?
Oh, yeah, I wrote that today in my blog. I was like, you know, did anybody miss the Big Ten this week? I did. You know, it was, I mean, because you it was kind of like you said, they were out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, you always expected them to play that game right before the selection show comes on. That was really weird. And so I get that they want to be in New York City. They want to be in that media market. Excuse me. But if you're going to do it the next time around, if you can't play at the Garden, you know, in that second week of the championship weeks, you know, maybe you look at playing in Brooklyn like the ACC did. So you're still in the media market, but you're still in that last week and you're getting attention. Because, like I said, everybody kind of forgot about what Michigan did. Everybody kind of forgot that Purdue's a really good basketball team. Everybody kind of forgot that Michigan State's a really good basketball team. So, like I said, they just were kind of the forgotten conference.
John, you're on the road right now making your way to Iowa City. We will have teams in the NCAA tournament, just not in the men's NCAA tournament, on the women's side. Drake beats you and I for the title yesterday in the Quad Cities, and Iowa going to be an at-large team. Now, the Hawkeyes throughout the years, seems like under Lisa Bluter, every time they're an 8 or 9 seed and have to play a number 1 seed in the round of 32, we know there's a pretty significant gap. Is that going to be the case this year? Iowa back in that, I don't know, 7 to 10 seed range, and even if they win, no chance in the round of 32?
I think they can get a 6, maybe, just because of where they're at in the RPI and what they were able to do in Big Ten play. And so I think that, you know, I think that there's a good chance for them. But again, you know, one of the things I saw, one of the brackets I saw had them as a 6 seed, but had them playing an 11 seed South Dakota State team, which is a really good team, in the first round. So, you know, being in that 6 doesn't necessarily mean, because there are some really good mid-major teams that you might run into that can give you a lot of problems.
John Bonenkamp is our guest, Burlington Hawkeye, and he is a AP voter. That's why we always love having him on the show. John, when you take a look at the way that it was done, do you feel now that the committee during their selection, do they pay so much attention to the analytics or the RPI that they aren't using an eye test as well? Do you think that, that's a possibility? Because when you're watching games, you are giving it the eye test.
Right. I do think they have kind of gotten away from the eye test a little bit. And, you know, when I did, and this has been several years ago, when I did the mock selection thing, they did talk about that, how committee members are assigned certain conferences and, you know, and they watch these teams play. But, you know, it really looked like, you know, when they were discussing yesterday on, you know, why Arizona State got in, for example, or somebody like that got in and Oklahoma State doesn't and Middle Tennessee doesn't, and they start talking about, you know, quadrant one and that sort of thing. And I think they kind of lost track of that these were really good basketball teams that they left out, and they were looking, I think, for reasons not to include them.
It's a different type. So what can be done? If they ask for the suggestion from the Wise Owl, what would you tell them as it pertains to putting the best product out there?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to have me on the committee.
Well, of course.
That said, you're not going to have that. But I do think that they have to start really looking more and more. They do have to really consider, hey, this is, you know, when discussing teams, I think one of the things that have to come up, and it used to, is this a team you want to play in March?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know, and again, I'm not in the committee room, so I don't know what's being said, but sometimes I think they've gotten away from that a little bit. You know, and the other thing, too, about the committee is the committee changes every year, every 2 years. So one committee might say, we like X. You know, the next committee might say, we like Y. And the other one might say, we like, you know. So for mid-majors, you never know what you're going to get. And so I do think it is kind of tilted toward the Power Five conferences. Okay, fine, I get that. But I do think that they really have to look at, and I know it's not a metric, but they also have to look at, you have to have teams that you know, you have to understand that some teams can't schedule good teams,
mm-hmm.
that they have a hard time getting scheduled. So I think those are some of the things that I think have to play in the process that I don't think do.
John, safe travels the rest of the way to Iowa City. We'll be looking for your coverage at thehawkeye.com. Thanks as always.
Will do. Have a good one. See you later.
John Bonacamp joining us on his way to Iowa City. The women's selection party happening this evening, Jimmy B. So coming up here as we kick off the 5 o'clock hour, Jim, I took a look back at my predictions for college hoops before the year. I got the Big Four. I had my final four picks all the way the day before college basketball began, November 10th. A little fun with this. Some good, plenty of bad. We'll do that on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Still to come in the next hour, also Ben Jacobson, you and I head coach, our final talk with Coach Jake, and Wolfgang stops by.
Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right on you, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
The day for everyone to be Irish, St. Patrick's Day, falls on a Saturday this year. Party right with Bennigan's and the St. Patrick's Day Party on Saturday, March 17th, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Live music starts at 7 with Moe's Garage, followed by Burning Sensation until 1 a.m. And room packages are available to stay the night at the Holiday Inn if you have a little too much Irish spirit. Your St. Patrick's Day Party headquarters, Bennigan's on Merle Hay Road.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to keep good records. We can help. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines. Bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax reporting, as well as income taxes. Everything you need to be successful in running your business. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. You do what you do best and let us do the rest. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. But Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Sponsored by Shell. Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving 5 cents a gallon today.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil is just $5.99 a quart. Its advanced formula provides maximum sludge protection, defending your engine like a catcher defends home plate. So tell sludge to go kick rocks and get top-notch engine protection with Mobil 1 full synthetic, just $5.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31/18.
I'm having that 6:59 feeling again.
What?
You know, that mini panic attack right before the workday starts when you're sure you've forgotten something?
Nope, that's my favorite time of day. I work with Cintas, so I always know we're ready for the workday. They handle our uniforms, fire extinguishers, first aid, safety training, floor mats, and restroom supplies.
I think I need to call Cintas.
They might just make a morning person out of you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Texas Roadhouse will be hosting their annual luncheon benefiting Special Olympics Iowa on Thursday, April the 5th at participating locations throughout the state. Come anytime between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. to join Special Olympics for a free lunch served by local law enforcement. The organization and officers just ask that you make a donation to Special Olympics when you stop in. Lunch includes pulled pork, a side roll, and a choice of tea, pop, or water. Texas Roadhouse is a longtime partner of Special Olympics Iowa. All donations made during the luncheon will go to support athletes with intellectual disabilities in Iowa. Participating locations include Ames, Urbandale, Cedar Rapids, Cedar Falls, Coralville, Davenport, Sioux City, Council Bluffs, and Dubuque. Bring the entire family for a tasty meal and great atmosphere, all in support of Special Olympics Iowa.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no-obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358.